believe that you can build an amazing life of significance by serving fewer, wealthier clients extremely well. We also believe you can do it faster and with less effort than you ever thought possible. Let us show you how to race up the hierarchy of advisor success. Welcome to the Preeminent Financial Advisor Podcast.
I'm Paul Loftes at CEG Worldwide, and at CEG, the number one coaching firm for financial advisors, we believe you can build and have an amazing life of significance by serving fewer but wealthier clients and doing it extremely well. CEG Worldwide is a coaching firm that helps financial advisors accelerate their success and build simple yet elegant wealth management businesses that are indispensable to the right affluent clients.
And I'm Catherine McBreen from CEG Insights. CEG Insights was born of a strategic fusion of two industry powerhouses, Spectrum Group, a leader in affluent investor research, and the research team of CEG Worldwide, the number one coach for financial advisors. With over 20 years of affluent investor research and extensive coaching experience, CEG Insights empowers senior executives to engage with financial advisors, sharing insights and actionable steps for sustainable organic growth.
Well, hello, everyone, and a great big welcome to all of you out there. I'm Paul Loftes, your co-host for the Preeminent Advisor Podcast.
And I'm Kathy McBreen, the co-host and the market research nerd that is brought along to share with you all of our market research insights.
The Preeminent Advisor Podcast is to help our listeners, Kathy, play to win, to move up market, work with higher net worth clients, and to do that in a way that is faster and easier than they ever thought possible. And by doing so, delivering amazing value to those clients, helping them have an amazing life, but also helping you, our audience, the financial advisors, to live an amazing life of significance, earning more, and taking care of yourself, the people, and the causes that you care about by just running a great and amazing business.
And CEG Insights is a really important part of that business because what we do is we go out and we do research with investors of all different levels of wealth, and we find out what they really think, what they really want, so that we can tell advisors how they should be servicing them. I mean, it's really, we've been doing this for more than 30 years now, and I think that we're the best research in the market, in research in the affluent market that exists today. And hopefully by working with Paul, we can come up with some really great insights for all of you.
Yeah, Kathy, your research and your team's research is fantastic. It's a real privilege to work with you. And then we take, you know, the great research that you do, and we partner that with the practical experience that we have at CEG Worldwide, being the industry's leading coaching and consulting firm to elite financial advisors. So we have literally coached thousands of elite financial advisors, not only in the United States, but in Australia, other parts of the world. And so we know the best practices of how to have a successful practice, and specifically of how to serve high net worth clients. So we're happy to marry that expertise together with your great research and help these advisors be preeminent. But before we jump into our topic today and to set the table, what we are going to talk about is we're going to talk about hands-on wealth, the proactive role that high net worth investors like to take in the management of their portfolio. So that's what we're going to talk about. But I understand you've got some big news in your family. I think you've got a new member.
We do. I had my first grandchild, a grandson named Brooks, and he was born in Chicago early December. And considering I'm only 25 years old, you know, it's really hard to be a grandmother, but I'm really excited about it. So it'll be really a new chapter for all of us.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. And what was his name again?
Brooks.
What a cool name. I know when we had our first child, and my wife and I, we were married for 18 years before we had children. And then we adopted. Our first child is adopted from Korea. But I remember, and my wife and I often talk about this, that one of the most rewarding things about that experience was actually seeing how happy it made our parents to be grandparents for the first time. Yes. So I know it's a big deal. So congratulations. Yes,
that's very exciting. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, what we're doing in our household the past couple of weeks is, we continue to have ongoing construction and remodeling in the Lofties household. It almost seems like, you know, we have a project and maybe that project will go on for a year or two. And then once that's done, it's almost ready to start again. So, wife wants to change the floor plan. We're dealing with our contractor.
Always good reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. There's always good reasons. And I'm kind of fortunate in that, my best friend, Kathy, we just grew up together. We were teenagers together. But he has become one of the most successful residential remodeling contractors in Omaha. And so I've got a great, great relationship and an outlet for that. But it's interesting as he's grown his business and he's really become a specialist in working with high-end, very, very wealthy individuals on remodeling. I was talking to him the other day, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, we're going to get somebody on your project and get over there, but you know, we're really busy right now. And I asked him, I said, you know, Nathan, as you have grown your business over the years and you kind of work with, you know, wealthier and wealthier people, what's your experience like as a contractor? And it was very interesting what he said, Kathy. He said that, you know, as you start to work with really, really affluent individuals, that they're very hands-on.
Yeah.
That they're very hands-on. And he said, you know, he doesn't mean that in a bad way, but they like to really know, okay, what are my options? What's going on with the project? What's the status? You know, it's not like they've outsourced this to somebody that's running their home, but they really are very involved. They can quickly make decisions, but they want to be hands-on.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, that's how they got to where they are, right? By mentioned everything around them.
Yeah. And it was funny, I was having that conversation with Nathan because it's really the same as we see in the wealth management business. And you know, again, this is going to be our topic today, is kind of the hands-on nature of high net worth clients when it comes to being involved with investment management and decisions about their money. So we're going to continue our conversation on a great piece of research that you did on the study. And for those of you that are watching on our video feed, I'm just going to throw this back up on the screen here. So we're continuing a conversation about a great piece of research that Kathy and her team did, the 25 million plus opportunity. And so Kathy, to remind our listeners, this was a study specifically about the ultra affluent market.
So these are all people with over $25 million of net worth. And we interviewed about 160 of them. And we've been doing this study since about 2007 or 8. So it's interesting to see how these demographics change. And it's interesting to see what they will share with us. And we really get really interesting information from them. In the past, we also combined oral histories with it. So it's really interesting. It was just completed this summer. And I think that what we've been sharing with you is that really overall, wealthy people aren't that different from those of us that aren't quite as wealthy. They really want some of the same things, and they worry about a lot of the same things, even things that you would imagine that they wouldn't worry about, like, you know, having enough money to retire upon or live the lifestyle that they want to keep. So it's important to remember that as you service these really wealthy clients.
Yeah, that's right. And we covered a couple of these in our previous podcast, but to remind listeners, you know, if they, you know, like to kind of hear a deep dive, you know, the two things that kind of stood out in the initial part of the research here was very much the same concerns. Like you said, I think advisors tend to think that working with the ultra affluent is completely different. There is a lot of different stuff about it, but the concerns are generally the same. And, you know, your research bore that out. It is also interesting, the demographics, though. The demographics are maybe a little bit different than what most people would assume as far as who the ultra affluent are these days.
Right. One of the things that I've was arguing with my research professionals with for the last 5 years. I'm like saying, there are too many millennials. How can you have all these millennials? And the reality is, if you look at our shifting population, there are more millennials than there are baby boomers. So it makes sense as they become older, that's the oldest millennials, 42-ish, 43-ish. And those are people who are pretty established in their careers now. So the millennials are becoming the most important generation in the wealth management industry, even though we're still preferring maybe the baby boomers and the Gen Xers.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as you're looking at these research results.
So let's move this into our topic for today, the hands-on nature. So as you know, you studied in this latest research with the ultra affluent market, the question you put to them, or the topic, you know, was around the collaborative approach to investing and what their desire was to be involved. And so I guess talk about exactly what did you ask? What was the question that was asked? And, you know, what did you find out?
So a lot of times we make the assumption that that wealthy individuals just want to hand their assets over to a financial advisor and say, call me when you need me. And that's really not at all what we find. What we find is that these individuals really like to be involved in the investing. And whether it's actually making the decisions or just knowing what's going on, that's what we find is important. And it's a different world today, if you think about it. You know, in the 1970s or 80s or 90s, it's really hard to follow what's going on in the financial markets. But today, with online access, it's really easy for people to go online or to be watching cable news or however it is they retrieve information to kind of understand what's going on. So when a financial advisor calls them up or emails them or whatever method they communicate and says, I want to make this trade, or I think that we should shift your portfolio, they want to know what's going on and they want to be involved in it. And you can see from this research, we asked how much do you like to be involved in the day-to-day management? And more than half, 52.7% of the total, said they want to be they agree strongly that they want to be involved. 29.4% said they agree somewhat. 11.4% neither agree nor disagree. Only 6% disagree, and less than 1% say they disagree strongly. So overall, you can see most individuals want to be involved in a day-to-day basis with their investments. And this is particularly true for millennials, where 66%, said two-thirds, want to be involved in the day-to-day management of their investments. Now, this doesn't mean that they want to be going online and making the trades. This means that they want to know what's going on, to be updated if something needs to be changed, that they're watching what's going on in the markets, and they may be calling you or reaching out or wanting you to interact with them. I mean, I worked in a consulting project several years ago, and I was supposed to interview a bunch of top advisors that day. And something happened in the geopolitical environment that was really important. And they had to go and call all of their investors that day. And that's how people want to be involved. If something happens, they need to know what's going on.
Yeah, this is really good stuff. And one of the things I always like to do with your research is there's usually kind of a truism, and you know, more people than not agree that they would like to be involved in the decision-making process, no matter the generation. But then when you really start parsing the generations, it's interesting to see that baby boomers either disagreed that they'd like day-to-day like to be involved, or neither agreed nor disagreed. If you add those two things together, it's almost 40%. And the millennials and the Generation X are like nowhere near that.
Correct. It's a different time frame, there's a
huge discrepancy there. And you know, I grew up in the wealth management business. Really, baby boomers were the market that was served. And I think it's fair that there's a segment of that that is the hands-off, outsource. I want to give that off to somebody. For many years, there wasn't the technology for that generation that there is now. So they just maybe didn't grow up with the same expectation of constant communication and constant involvement that the younger generation now has. So, you know, to put a button on it, the research is saying that especially with high net worth investors, they are very interested in feeling like they are playing a participatory role in what's going on. How does this differ maybe from research that you've done, if you have done, on, you know, lower amounts of wealth or the general population?
Well, sometimes we find that people with lower amounts of wealth aren't quite as attuned, or they don't necessarily want to be quite as involved. But this is more so with older investors. Again, with younger investors, they still like to be, kind of involved in what's going on. And the reality is, if you're not involved with them and telling them, they're going to go online and figure out what they think, and that could be right or wrong. So whether it's something is happening and you feel like your clients in general need to know, it's important to send out a communication, whether it's an email or something of that nature. But we do find even those with less wealth still are inclined to want to be involved, especially the younger ones. Now, the one thing that I will mention is the economy also has an impact on this. Whenever the market's going down, we find in the years where the market's been a little more disruptive, that people are more likely to say they want to be involved. Whereas if things are going, very well, they're not quite as engaged, or they don't care quite as much because things are going up. The time we saw the biggest change in this was right after 2007, when the market collapsed. All of a sudden, all these people wanted to be involved again and what was going on, and they didn't trust anybody and they had to build trust. But by 2018, again, it was up to these numbers that we see today, where people pretty much, they want to be involved, but like the baby boomers don't care as much because they don't need to be quite as involved anymore.
Yeah. So I think a good question is, what does being involved mean? It means different, it means different things to different people perhaps. And so I know one of the things that you asked was, what are the methods for evaluating different investment opportunities? Because this gave some color and some context to maybe, how the individuals really felt mm-hmm. about what being involved meant. So what did you learn?
So we found out that for a lot of people, they're out there, they're researching online. So for those of you who can't see, it's almost 75%. 74.5%. So that's how they research. That's how they become involved, is by researching online different investment opportunities. And following that, 47.6% consult with their financial advisor, 45% roughly read annual reports, and just over a third, 36.5% will look at past investment performance. So they do go online. They do. I mean, I would assume that they find a lot of these annual reports and past performance online as well. So investors know how to find information, and that's what they're going to be doing to be, quote, unquote, be involved. So it's possible that they'll research something online and call up their advisor and want to, discuss it with him or her. So being involved of what's being aware of what's going on, what may be online that you need to know about, or even on the cable news that you need to know about. If what Cramer comes on and says, oh, you're supposed to be, everybody needs to be moving to such and such, be prepared that you're going to get some calls, perhaps from some of your investors saying, well, should I be investing in this and this, or questions about what's going up, NVIDIA, what about artificial intelligence? They're going to be asking you these types of questions, and that's what you need to be aware of.
Yeah. This illustrates to me really the importance of having an understanding individually of each high net worth client and what is important to them and how they like to be communicated to. There's a huge difference, Kathy, between somebody that is reading an annual report and somebody says that I'm doing research online, which could just be like looking up a stock, just looking up a stock ticker. Somebody that's reading annual reports is extremely involved, extremely knowledgeable. So, I mean, it's saying here that in the high net worth market, 45% of people are doing that. So,
some people are very calm and steady about their questions and what they're doing, whereas others are going to be reacting based upon something they've read or heard or whatever. So you need to understand the personalities of your clients as well.
Yeah. So to sum up the research, when we talk about the affluent marketplace, the ultra affluent, 25 million and up, they are indicating that they want to be very, very hands-on, very, very active, well communicated with, And this is especially pronounced the younger the investor is. And again, to tie this back into some of the previous research, millennials now make up the largest bucket of ultra affluent investors. So if you want to play to win, you want to move up market, work with higher net worth investors, you know, be prepared to serve millennial ultra affluent and really think about practical ways that you can involve them in the investment process.
Absolutely. I mean, it's important to understand what each individual wants. And so I think that's your first item on your checklist, is to figure out how much do each of your investors want to be involved? And if so, how are you communicating with them? And I think that we always say that communicate. And that's really an important thing for all advisors.
So let's pivot now and let's talk about, like we talked about at the outset, we love your research and your participation because it gives us the broad picture of what's happening in the space and what the investors are saying. But now let's talk about some practical application based upon our coaching experience and working with elite advisors about how to take advantage of this this information. And so, the first thing I would encourage everyone to think about is, best practices for the affluent market. And I think it helps to give some context here, Kathy, is when serving the mass affluent market, advisors typically build a business model that is really about efficiency, and rightfully so. That makes 100% to do that. But when it comes to investment management, oftentimes when you're serving the mass affluent market, you're using, if you're managing your own money, investment models. So there's maybe, 5-8 models that clients are generally getting put into, or you're working with a third party money manager. And so you've got some money managers that, you use their models, but it's very formulaic and system driven. And there's not a lot of customization. There's not a lot of customization to that. And it's got to be that way if you've got several hundred clients. Has to.
But what about these high net worth clients? Did advisors have to treat them differently?
They do. So, if you're going to move up market and work with the ultra affluent, you got to start thinking about more customized portfolios, management, investment management solutions, because that's just what they are going to desire. And you need to have a open conversation about what the expectations are with the ultra affluent individual and how they want to be involved. How often do they want to be communicated with? How often do they want to be met with? And oftentimes, again, in kind of the mass affluent market, you're basically saying to clients, this kind of sounds weird to say it this way, but it's true, is when you're serving the mass affluent market, you're running a very template business model. This is how I manage money. This is how I service clients. I do a review 2 times a year. You come in and see me, and this is how it works for everybody. But with a high net worth client, again, you really can't do that. You've got to be very, very custom. Got to have some flexibility in the investment portfolio, but even more important in the service model.
Right.
How do they want to be communicated with? How many times a year do they want to see you? What information do they want? You need to have the ability to discover that of the individual and then to execute on that, because it's likely going to vary client to client.
So how do you get to know what an investor's preference is?
You got to ask them, Kathy, you got to talk about this in your discovery and in your, fact finding, just like you find out and you ask questions that help determine what assets does a client have, what planning issues do they have, what their risk tolerance is. You need to communicate with high net worth clients to also find out what their communication preference is and how do they define involvement?
Do you have any examples of how some of this has been done in the past? So people who've tried to raise, their ability to do both. Can you do both? Have sort of a mass market kind of approach as well as a high net worth approach?
Yeah. Well, when you transform your business to work with high net worth clients, one of the great things is you typically can have fewer clients. Right, Kathy? Because you
that's true.
They bring in a higher amount of AUM, and your income as an advisor can be greater. And you know, you can do more custom things for them. Because again, you don't have to commit as much time. So, you know, but most advisors, they go through a transition. They don't just transition to all ultra high net worth right away. But, you know, for those advisors that are in transition, who are still serving mass affluent, but want to start bringing in these high net worth clients, just recognize they're going to have a carve out service model. You're going to have to treat them a little bit differently. You're going to have to discover their communication preferences, their involvement with money manager preferences, and start managing to that. But over time, you'd like to say, you know, advisors are able to transform their business and start working more exclusively with those types of clients.
So do you have any examples of particular individuals who've done this, or do people like grow their number of advisors that they have, or how do people actually accomplish it?
A great question. And Kathy, what we see is that advisors that make a commitment to play to win and to really focus on the ultra affluent marketplace definitely can move up market. And you know, what they do is they become familiar with the exact type of stuff that we talk about in your research. You know, what are the different things that marketplace desires? Better communication, better value proposition. In one of our upcoming podcasts, we're going to talk about the virtual family office and basically the positioning to this marketplace of the wealth manager being the coordinator of all of these different groups of experts. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They can accomplish it. But one of the things that an advisor really needs to do as well, as they begin working with the higher net worth client, is, you know, kind of change their mindset. And I encourage advisors to start thinking like they're a CFO of the high net worth individual. And you got to remember, your research has told us, and other research has told us, that the high net worth individuals are extremely disproportionately business owners. That's how they've generated their wealth. So, you know, they think in terms of running a very successful, you know, small corporate enterprise.
Exactly.
And they're used to having people report to them of, hey, this is what's going on in the business. This is what we need to think about strategically. But they're used to, from a business standpoint, kind of looking at their key performance indicators and having an idea of how the business is going. Mm-hmm. And that's really how advisors need to start thinking about themselves when they work with high net worth individuals, is they're stepping in and they're reporting on key performance indicators of a person's personal wealth, but they very much need to communicate with that person like they're a CEO, because most commonly they are.
I think that, you know, because so many are business owners or senior executives, a lot of times they're used to delegating to some extent, or bringing in an expert, or understanding that no one person can do everything. So it's okay to bring in the experts, but they're looking to their advisor maybe to be that person who brings in the expert.
Yeah. So I'm going to give one tip here, Kathy, that I this is one of the things that I have seen done for advisors that are moving up market and starting to work with higher net worth clients, that really, really kind of meets this desire for hands-on investing. And I call this the Wealth Watch Live strategy showcase concept. And I've seen advisors do this, and it works very, very well. And what they basically do is they do a monthly event, like a live stream or a Zoom call, where if they're managing money themselves and it, you know, as a firm, you know, they'll basically have a investment committee meeting. And it's an opportunity to let the clients kind of listen in, the high net worth clients listen in, to see some of those discussions about what's going on, and then decisions that the firm is going to make in the investment management process. If you're outsourcing money management to third-party money managers, this concept works similarly, But oftentimes you're bringing in one of those money managers to specifically talk about what they're doing in their portfolios. But this is a very effective way to connect the dots for these high net worth investors that want to feel like they're hands-on and that they're really involved with the money management by using, you know, technology, Zoom, live stream to give some access and some transparency into what's going on behind the scenes with the portfolios. This is a great concept. I've seen it work very, very well.
That's awesome. Good idea. So what are some of the other things that you think that advisors need to be aware of different if they're moving into this higher net worth market? Are there different types of investments they need to be aware of? What different types of things should they be looking at or focusing on?
Yeah, great question. And so again, when you think about the mass affluent market and kind of that business model that a lot of us grew up in, where we're doing model management and then we've got a template service model, where again, maybe we're meeting with the client once a year to do a review. Those investment models tend to be pretty generic. And again, because we're serving so many clients, we're not doing a lot of custom things with them. One of the things that the high net worth individuals love to explore, talk about, makes them really think, feel like they've got hands-on involvement, are unique investment strategies. And, you know, when you get together with your high net worth individual that wants to be more involved, you know, they generally are interested in having conversations about non-traditional investments. Maybe it's real estate, you know, 1031 DST, maybe it's tax credit programs, oil and gas. So advisors out there, when you move up market, one of the things that it is helpful to do is to really raise your education and your knowledge level about some of these non-traditional alternative investment options that might be available. And again, this is very specific to your broker dealer, to your RIA. So you want to make sure you're, you know, working with your firm as far as what's approved. But when you are working with the ultra affluent, these are the type of things that they like to sit down and talk about and feel like you're really working for them when you expose them to some of these ideas and some of these strategies. And they feel like they're involved. They feel like they're involved when they hear these from you, and they can comment on whether or not they feel like it makes sense to include these in their portfolio.
And I would be remiss, I guess, if I did not mention that for those millennial investors, you need to be aware of what's going on with cryptocurrency, because we see a lot of interest by those young people in cryptocurrency. So even if they don't expect you to be the expert, they want that to be part of their portfolio.
Yeah. So great discussion today, Kathy. Thank you for your insights as always and your great research. So, you know, our key point from today is in our continuing discussion of your research on the ultra affluent 25 million plus, this is a group that says they like to be hands-on.
Yep.
They like to be hands-on. Yeah.
They want to be involved, and you need to communicate with them on a regular basis, maybe not day-to-day, but on a regular basis, they want to be involved.
Yeah. And so just a few practical things that you can do if you got an opportunity or you want to really move up market and specialize working with the affluent, and you don't necessarily have to go for 25 million and up. These are relevant, Kathy, for, in my opinion, you know, 5 million plus. These things are still relevant for investors with this amount. Number one, as an advisor, you got to know how the client wants to be communicated with and how they define involvement. What does that mean? You got to ask that as part of the discovery. Second, you use some technology to, you know, expose your clients to, your investment committee meetings, to managers, have a Zoom meeting, have a live stream. They're going to feel like they're very involved in that. You're going the extra mile to involve them, to give them special access to these types of people. And then, and third, you know, stay on top of some of the non-traditional investment strategies. That's going to be increasingly important as you move up market, because when you come to talk to them about that, again, you're meeting that need that they feel like they're involved. Absolutely. You're doing something that's bringing a new concept to them. So they feel like they're involved. These things really, really help meet that need.
And it's also going to demonstrate your expertise about not just what you do, but how you know what's going on around exactly what you do. So I think that that's important.
Well, thank you, Kathy, for your great insights today, and excited for the audience. As a reminder, this great research that we talk about is available on the CEG Insight website and link. So you can go out there and you can grab this special report and some of the other great research that Kathy talks about. Kathy, I am excited about our next episode. Let's tease that a little bit for our listeners. We're going to talk about how the high net worth are not really following through on the holistic wealth management that they should be. They want it, but they're not achieving it, and they need our listeners' help.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to talk about on episode 13. So that will wrap us. So again, I'm Paul Loftes. And
I'm Kathy Green.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, and get out there, be a preeminent advisor, and play to win.
We'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.